from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
2-2. Ground ball to short. Backhanded by DeYoung over to first. That'll do it! After 14 L's in a row, the losing streak is over. Southside, stay!
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
And the highlight, courtesy NBC Sports Chicago, and a fun Friday night at the old Ball Yard as the White Sox snap their longest losing streak ever at 14 games. Sox 7, Boston 2 last night. Welcome back to Inside the Clubhouse alongside Bruce Levine. I'm Mike Esposito in for David this week. And we head on out to talk more White Sox, Bruce, to the Score Hotline presented by Circa Sports Illinois.
And bring in one of the voices of the Chicago White Sox on television, along with John Schriffen. Our good friend and compadre Steve Stone joins us on a Saturday morning. And Steve, nice to talk about a White Sox victory for a change.
Well, you know, Bruce, it's kind of surprising. The formula the Sox used, I'm surprised they didn't think of it earlier. You throw your best pitcher, you let him strike out a whole lot of guys, you hit 3 home runs, and you come away with a win. It sounds fairly simple.
Yeah, it is simple.
Yeah,
I think it's been the last 3 times they've won, that's been the
that's the plan. Yeah, it's a good plan. I mean, just keep hitting the ball out of the park and don't give up too many runs and you should be okay.
What do you feel for the White Sox fans? I'm out there almost every game. You're there every game, especially at home. I know you have a few days off here and there through the year, but I just feel for the fan base, and I feel for the people out there, it's been difficult.
Well, it's been very difficult, and it's very frustrating on a daily basis. The fans of the White Sox, I know the old thing that they don't care that much because they don't come out to the ballpark. That's not really it. There's a lot of fans of the White Sox, and they do care, and they care quite a bit. And they're very frustrated with the way things have happened this year, and I'm sure last year, you know, you lose 101, the fan base can't be particularly happy. But I think one of the things that, and this doesn't make it any easier to go through this, but almost without exception, the Sox players are playing about as hard as they can play. I think on a daily basis, they're doing everything they can to try to win. And then it comes down to the fact that a lot of other teams have more talent than the Sox have at this point. And so when that happens and you're not scoring a whole lot of runs specifically, then every time you make a mistake, whether it's a mistake on the bases, a mistake with your pitching, or you make an error somewhere on the field, every time you make a mistake, if you're not scoring, it just it highlights the fact that you're not scoring because you lose that game. And the Sox have done a whole lot of that, as we know. But this is the building process. This is where the Sox get to take a look at a lot of their younger players under major league pressures. Last night, Cannon threw very well coming back to the major leagues. He's one of the bright spots for the Sox going forward. I think they believe he's got a good chance. So we're going to get a chance to see all of these guys. We're going to get a chance to see Oscar Colas and find out if he can actually do it. And right now, since coming back, looks like he's hitting the ball harder than he did, you know, when they sent him down a couple of times.
Glenn, Stoney, you talk about Crochet and how he has performed so well this season. 10 strikeouts last night. He's now 6-5 after getting the win. And with the overall record being what it was, the fact that Crochet has six of those wins is pretty amazing. And our intrepid reporter here that I co-host the show with mentioned the 1972 Steve Carlton season when he won 27 and his team didn't win that many more games. But Crochet has certainly been a guy you can depend on, even with all of the other factors going on. He's been remarkable.
Well, having witnessed that 1972 season, because Steve Carlton threw a one-hitter against my team at the time, the Giants in San Francisco, our shortstop Chris Spire led off with a hit. We didn't come close the rest of the way. That Philadelphia team won 59 games, and Steve Carlton won 27 of them. It was one of the most, if not the most, remarkable pitching performances because he threw for a terrible team. And he went on, as we know, to be a Hall of Famer and one of the all-time greats. I'm hoping for more of the same from Garrett Crochet. Right now, he's been magnificent. Very few teams square up anything he throws. He's got an electric fastball. And, you know, there's a lot of people that are really getting they're getting anguished before the fact because it's come out that Chris gets said pretty much, what am I bid for whoever it is? You tell me who you want. Tell me who you want to give me. We'll see what we can work out. Well, that doesn't mean that he wants to actively trade Crochet or Luis Robert. That just means that he's willing to listen to anybody. And if you don't have the kind of team you want to have, to me, that's the healthiest approach for any front office. Listen to what everybody tells you. Maybe they'll overwhelm you in a deal. And where I don't think that the Sox would be overwhelmed in a deal would be for Luis Robert. And the only reason I can see is maybe some health concerns by other teams. Still, I mean, you're rolling the dice on getting one of the most dominant players in baseball, if in fact Luis can stay healthy. But the guy that brings you the most is Garrett Crochet. So you say, okay, I will be more than happy to listen to anything you have to tell me. However, we're not going to give him away, and we're more than happy to spend, you know, the rest of his career with the White Sox if that's the case. But I'll listen to what you have to say.
Steve, is it added on more, the idea that he doesn't have the innings pitch, that there is rest intended for him, that it's an unknown area with Crochet going forward? Does that add to the mix of why the White Sox, with 2 years of contract control for Crochet, would consider trading him?
I as I said, Bruce, they don't want to trade Garrett Crochet, but they will. Because if you're overwhelmed in a deal, you might as well make the deal. And I've talked to a lot of general managers over the years, and they pretty much tell me the same thing, and that is they take a look at the trade, and if they can tell themselves they're a better team after the trade, they make the trade, and it doesn't matter who it is they're trading. So you have certain guys that you won't deal, but when you're where this team is, I don't think those guys exist.
Talking with Steve Stone here on Inside the Clubhouse on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And there's no doubt, Stoney, I mean, listen, this team has struggled since the get-go, but injuries have really been a huge part of that, with Robert and Eloy and Yoan Moncada going out really early in this season. But with Robert back, and maybe it's just me, but it certainly seems just putting Robert back in that lineup has kind of energized the guys around him. We're starting to see more hitting from guys like Andrew Vaughn, and Sheets has been pretty good this season as well. Having that superstar in the middle of your lineup makes a difference, doesn't it?
It makes a huge difference because he's one of the guys that the other team's going to game plan against. They're going to come into this series with the White Sox saying, okay, don't let Luis Robert beat you. Well, that's all well and good, but then you wind up maybe either pitching around him or you wind up giving whoever it is on a daily basis hitting in front of him get better pitches because they don't want to get to Luis. So, yes, it gives the lineup a little more length. It gives them a different dimension. You know, Paul DeJong has done a great job. He leads this team in home runs. But if he's your leading home run hitter, most likely it's not going to be a successful year. This is not to denigrate Paul at all because I think he's done a very good job for the ball club. But it's just that he's not the guy that's supposed to lead your team in home runs. It's supposed to be Luis Robert or Eloy Jimenez and an outside shot maybe of being Moncada if he played a whole year, which, as we know, he really doesn't do very often. But, yeah, he gives you a different look. just adding him back gives everybody a spark, because then you have guys who wouldn't be leading hitters on various baseball teams not performing to the point where they believe they have to do it each and every at bat. So there's a difference for every one of these hitters being one of the guys as opposed to being the guy. Luis Robert is built and has the talent to be the guy, and so his presence makes everybody relax a little bit, I believe.
So a lot of White Sox fans that are friends of mine and people on text and X implore me to figure out what's best for the White Sox. Is Pedro Grifol that guy? I know that's not your area of going to or expertise, but in as far as what the charge is for a manager and a coaching staff that's supposed to lose a lot of games and get better, what is the goal of, in your opinion, of the manager and the coaching staff? What is their main job when you know you're going to lose 100-plus games?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things that a manager and his staff have to do when they know they're just going to be out-talented. And believe me, coming in both last year and this year, the Sox had a pretty good idea they were going to be out-talented. However, there is no manager, there is no leader in any walk of life or any business that starts off, you know, in a brand new season or a brand new year that starts off and says, you know what, we're so bad, we're going to lose all the time, and I don't know what our players are going to do. Nobody does that. So everybody starts off with a positive attitude, and the positive attitude only gets you so far. And I think the goal of any of these teams that are going to be also Rans, I think what you have to do as a staff is you have to teach your team how to play winning baseball. Because the first things managers do, you teach your players how to play professional baseball. Then you teach them how to play Major League Baseball. And then you have to teach them how to play winning baseball. And it's learning how to play winning baseball that starts to mold your team. That means when you have a cutoff man to hit, there are no excuses. You just hit the cutoff man. When you have to execute, the thought process has to be there. You have to understand that there are certain things you can't do, like making the first out at third base. You can't do that. If you do that too often, you're probably going to lose. There are certain ways to take leads. You have to teach them how to do that. You have to teach them how to occasionally bunt. And I don't say the bunt should be one of the staples of your offense, but you have to know how to do it. If the situation dictates, a bunt will help you win the game. So what the staff has to do is teach a team how to play winning baseball. And to do that, you have to teach them how to execute both defensively and offensively. Then you have to make sure that they're hustling each and every day. And I think by and large, Pedro has done a good job of that. And I think if you take a look at the way the team is constructed this year and you watch the games, have they made terrible plays? Yes, they have. Have they made plays that weren't particularly smart? Yes, they've done that too. But it hasn't been, overwhelmingly, it hasn't been from lack of hustle. And that's one of the things that the team has to do. And one of the things that I think this coaching staff has done a good job of is having these guys run hard every play. Then you see where the chips fall. And it comes to do with talent, but it's education. It's educating this team to, when they do get good, you know exactly what to do to win games. And we talk about it on the broadcast a lot. Good teams will take the game away in the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning consistently. And bad teams are going to give the game away in the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning. And unfortunately, the Sox this year have been in the latter category, not the former.
Talking with Steve Stone, a few more minutes with Stoney here on Inside the Clubhouse on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Stoney, one of the bright spots for me, at least, has been young catcher Corey Lee. I know Maldonado was brought in the offseason mainly for his defensive prowess, but Lee is a guy that has shown me a little bit. What do you see in Corey Lee, and how do you see him projecting in the future?
Well, I've said a couple of things about Corey Lee. Number one was that if he improves from this year to next, as much as he did from last year to this, the Sox probably have themselves an all-star catcher. There's not much that he really can't do. Now, he's learning in the major league, at the major league level, he's learning how to do this on a daily basis. And when I talked with him day before yesterday, and I talked with him about the learning process of being a major league catcher, and he pointed to Maldonado. He said, look, I played with him in Houston. He knows everything about my game, and he's able to tell me when I'm not doing things right or what I should be doing. So Maldonado has been very good for Corey Lee. He also made some changes in his swing in the off season, and that has really served him well. He said, you know, I realize that I'm strong enough where I don't have to intentionally try to hit the ball harder than I'm hitting it. He said, if I make good contact, I hit it hard enough. And it's nice that he's learning that because he's using the whole field, and he is strong. We've seen that. He's getting better at blocking pitches. I think he's getting better at taking command of a pitcher on a daily basis and trying to ease him through this performance, and I think Maldonado has really helped him. I think when you see him go to the mound now, you can almost see Maldonado going out there, you know, the hand on the shoulder, spends a little extra time out there, gives him a pep talk, and then goes back to his position. So I think we've seen, although Martin has had, you know, an awful year offensively, I think he was brought in partly to be almost a coach, especially for the catchers, and I think he's done a nice job, certainly with Corey Lee. But I think you're right. Corey Lee has been one of the real bright spots this year.
Smallest big city in the world. And when it comes to broadcasting, it's probably even smaller. When you were breaking in as a broadcaster with the Cubs 42 years ago, how difficult was it for you to break in? And how much time did it take? You know, only because I'm asking you about, you know, John replacing Jason Benetti and, you know, acceptance as a new broadcaster. What was that like for you initially?
Well, when I came to town, I did have, at that point, I had the benefit of playing for both sides of town. And I think that's always a tremendous advantage because you get to learn both fan bases. And I'd spent two different stints with the White Sox, one stint with the Cubs, both of them for 3 years total. And so I knew a whole lot about Chicago. I had lived here a while, and I think it would be a lot more difficult for me if I was just coming to Chicago for the first time, trying to live here and establish myself. And I also had, you know, one of the great broadcasters of all time in Harry Carey to be able to tell me many things. He told them to me in different ways. Sometimes he would just yell at me, and other times he would explain to me what was going on. So, you know, he was an interesting character, but he really understood broadcasting backwards and forwards. And he was, you know, judging by the fact that he's in the Hall of Fame, winner of the Ford Frick Award, you realize that he was one of the best that ever did this. And I got to learn on a daily basis. And, you know, I had worked on the national stage for a year and then worked on the national stage when I worked that first year with the Cubs. So I had been on ABC Monday Night Baseball working with the best of the best before I ever got into the Cubs booth. And broadcasting national games, as John Triffin did a lot of, broadcasting national games is completely different than broadcasting local games. And so you have to get your feet on the ground. But I would urge our fandom, who I know have given John a rough time to this point, to be a little more patient because this is the beginning of his local career. He did do national games, and he does understand baseball despite some comments to the contrary. But I think he's going to be much better as he moves along. I think he's got to get the footing that I talked about when I came to town, because I already knew this city. I knew the fans of both sides of town. I knew just about everything about Chicago, having played here a couple times. And I love the city. I've loved the city for a long time. I've been here with the exception of the 4 years I was in Baltimore. I've been here every year since 1973. So to me, this city held no mysteries at all. I understood the fans. I understood the traditions of both teams. And that's something that John has to learn, and he's going to learn. He's really a smart guy. And again, you got to give him an opportunity to get established, because I think when he gets established, I believe the White Sox fans are really going to like this guy. He's a caring guy. He wants to get involved in the community. He does a lot of things right that goes unseen. And I think the longer he's around, as happens so often, by the way, in Chicago, you guys both know this, the longer you're around, the better the people like you. That's just the great thing about this city. There is a certain amount of loyalty in this city to the people who have put in their time in Chicago. John is going to do that, and when he does, the White Sox fans are going to be very happy with him.
Steve, Mike and I really appreciate your time. Thanks for the expertise you bring to the station all the time. Look forward to seeing you out at the ballpark today.
Thanks, Bruce. Thanks, Mike. Go on and have a really good show, and we'll try to win two in a row today, guys.
That's something.
That's something as well. Stoney, appreciate it.
Okay, have a good one.
You too. That is Steve Stone. And Bruce, it's always great to talk to Stoney, one of the fountains of information about baseball in this town. I had not realized, of course I knew he played on both sides of town, but when he puts it like that, for only the 4 years he was in Baltimore, he's been in Chicago ever since 1973. That's a long time. That's a lot of baseball, both playing and broadcasting,
well,
for our friend, Mr.
Steve
Stone.
Steve always had extra insight into the city because he was a city guy here. He got involved with, Let Us Entertain You, went to work, rolled up his sleeves, actually worked at a location called Jonathan Livingston Seafood initially, as he started to get involved with Rich Melman and their group. So he knows Chicago as well as anybody, obviously over 50 years here. So listening to Stoney's not a bad idea. And listening to some chin music coming back, Mike, might also be something you'd like to do as we go high and inside. And maybe the all-time winner for chin music is a part of what we're going to be doing next. This is Inside the Clubhouse on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
High and inside, chin music, a little chin music, take that hitter for a ride.
It's time for some chin music.
Hey, Alf, how about a warning?
Sure. Watch out you don't get killed.
Because sometimes in baseball, you've got to send a strong message, especially when someone has it coming. Each Saturday, Inside the Clubhouse comes in high and tight with a response to something that deserves one, like this.
I'm fine with addressing all these questions, but I'm not going to sit here and address it every day. But I don't focus on that stuff. It's part of the job. You know, we're not winning. So when you're not winning, you know, speculations get higher and higher. You know, it's a part of what we do. We get signed up to win baseball games, and when you don't, there's always a possibility of a change being made.
And there's Pedro Grifol as we come into our chin music segment here on Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and Mike Esposito in for David today. And Bruce, that was the other night at Wrigley during the Cubs Sox series, and you were able to ask Pedro about all the rumblings going on about there about his job status.
Yeah, and the text line isn't going all so well for me today. I don't know, why that is. You know,
shocked.
You know, there's a lot of people that accuse me of apologizing for the White Sox, and I think when you tell people what you know, and that's my job as a reporter. I happen to have a talk show that I do with David Haw every Saturday here on baseball, but my main job is a reporter. So telling people what I know to be factual and what the information is, that's the job, okay? And I think I try to report that, not to everybody's satisfaction every week, but I try to report what I know. A lot of people aren't going to like it because they're upset of what's going on with the teams, and I think that's the greatest thing about baseball. I love the objectivity of fans going after you, of giving me the same type of chin music that we do with people like Pedro and everyone else that's out there every day, Major League Baseball, trying to get it done. So it's fun, and it's really, the essence of what Chicago is. It's an in-your-face city, and, you know, I try to be able to stand up to that. Mike, so with Pedro here today, you know, it's just a question of, and again, we go back to it, if you would like to replace Pedro, what would you want it to be? 312-644-6767. Give us the viable replacements for a team that's job is to lose and to trade off what veterans that are left there and get better within the next 3 or 4 years. Who's your ideal guy if it's not Pedro? And again, I don't know if it's Pedro and his staff. I think they're doing as well as they can be expected to do. You step it up to Chris Getz. You ask him, is that what happening? He hasn't talked in the last week, and I expect he will in the next few days. The question of, is Pedro and the staff doing enough so that they will be around for the rest of the year to complete this job?
Well, and I think that's why it's valuable to me hearing this from not only you, who's there reporting it every day, but from Steve Stone, who's been around the game his whole life. He's been there every day. And when he says, listen, say what you will about the talent, but they're out there, they're playing hard, they're out there trying to win games. A lot of times, yes, mistakes happen, things go sideways, they end up losing games that they should have won. But is that something you place at the feet of your manager, who is apparently, and this is again what Stoney said, you know, they're doing the right things, it's not translating. A lot of that has to do with the players and the talent that's on the field. So if you're, the question of the day is yours, it's exactly right, is who would do a better job, or who is your candidate then?
Well,
want to replace him here?
You know, when I talk to other people in the media who are fed up with it, or fans, a lot of them say, we don't care. No, anybody would do a better job. Well, you know what? That's just not true. Okay? So if you think it's going to be easy to go in there and get some veterans who want to be traded to play the way you want them to, and then also teach young players how to be major leaguers at the same time and continue the player development, well, it's just not that easy. Again, do I make excuses for people? No. I report what I see.
312-644-6767. If you would like to jump on Inside the Clubhouse, we're talking Sox and Pedro Grifol right now. Let's go out to South Bend, Bruce, and Mark is on the line, and he is now on Inside the Clubhouse. Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. Hey, Bruce. Good chiming in with you. Molly said on his morning show yesterday he would be surprised with the series ending against Boston if Pedro's not replaced by the bench coach. Now, my question is this. Whether they keep Pedro on or go with the bench coach, I think in all fairness, either Pedro or the bench coach, and they're talking about trading Crochet to Milwaukee along with Fetty, and two quality pitchers, they would have to bring up the two prospect left-handers, Tyler Busch and possibly Eater from they got in a Marlins trade last year, and possibly along with Carroll and Colson Montgomery, to either give Pedro a look at these guys or the new bench manager going forward to try to get some reputable young talent going, especially if they make a trade with their two best pitchers.
And you know, Mark, thanks for the call. It's some good stuff that Mark talks about. White Sox fans want to see the future, okay? They don't look at, you know, the present group or the coaching staff or the manager as a future. That's difficult, okay? But you talk about Colson Montgomery and his trajectory toward the major leagues and probably being around in the second half. You look at the continued young pitching at AA for Birmingham. These are things that White Sox fans want to see. They want to think about. They want to dream about as being part of their team. They want and deserve a good team, and hopefully they'll get it down the road. It's just not there right now, Mike.
No, it's not, Bruce. And, you know, lots of struggle going in there. It was nice. Listen, last night, I know it's one game. I know you're the last place team in your division and in baseball, and you had a horrible losing streak. Last night was a fun game. If you're a baseball fan, if you're a Sox fan, it was great to see, and hopefully they can build on that. Let's sneak in one more call before we break, Bruce. Rogers Park, Tony is up next. Hey, Tony, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'll try and be fast. Hey, guys, Joe Torre is a Hall of Fame manager, correct? Yeah. Okay, look at his first two stops. He wasn't that great, right, because he was on two teams. I mean, he managed two teams that had no talent. All of a sudden, he gets to the Yankees, and Steinbrenner gives him a virtual Hall of Fame roster every year. And what do you know? Joe Torre's a Hall of Fame manager. I say that to say this. In baseball, it's about the talent, not the managers. Nobody could do any better with this cast of characters that Pedro has. Not that I'm saying he's good, but what is. Thank you, gentlemen.
Tony, great call. And Mike, Joe Torre managed over 1,500 games, or the most of any manager in baseball history without winning a playoff game. As Tony said, when he gets to the Yankees and you work for a team that has great talent and all of a sudden guys like Jeter and Bernie Williams and people like that are coming along in the farm system, a farm system that got better because George Steinbrenner couldn't be around and trade them for a while because he was out of the game, then you have something there. And I think Tony's call is one of the best that I've heard in a long time. The reality is, if you're going to be a great manager, you better have great players. And again, Pedro Grifol gets the chin music all the time here, but I've seen nothing from him other than standing up, answering the questions, yeah, bending at times, getting knocked down, getting back up, making mistakes just like some players do. And doing his job. That's all I've watched. Now, is he the right manager for the White Sox for the future? When they get better, that'll be answered by other people, not me.
Bruce, I loved your Jim Leland story from earlier when he said that he was a good manager when he had Barry Bonds and Andy Van Slyke, and when he didn't, not so much, right? That's exactly it. So.
It's true. And you know, Tony's, we're just, re-emphasizes the fact that you have to have good players. But again, from a fan perspective, I get it. You know, you have to have somebody to be angry with, okay? You're angry at Jerry Reinsdorf. You're angry at the White Sox organization. You're angry at Pedro Grifol and the coaches. You're angry at the players from time to time. There's just not enough really outstanding ones yet for you to really sink your teeth into. And that sucks. I'm sorry. It's bad. I don't like it, but that's where we stand right now.
Speaking of sucks, Saturday Suckage will follow us, but we have one more segment, Bruce, and when we come back, we'll talk about the trade deadline coming up, and you talked earlier to Michael Kopech. We played a bit of sound. We will bring that back and talk about is Kopech a guy, and what fit does he have on contending teams in terms of the trade deadline as the White Sox look forward, and certainly is going to be a lot of activity here heading into the trade deadline. A simple way to listen to Mully and Haw, Bernstein and Holmes, Parkins and Spiegel, and everything the Score has to offer is with the free Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app today, search 670 The Score, and take us wherever you may go. We'll talk trades when we come back. He's Bruce Levine. I'm Mike Esposito, in for David Haw today. This is Inside the Clubhouse on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I'm proud of the fact that in these games we've rallied late. You know, it felt like on Friday and Sunday we had chances late to tie the game. I think we did that the same thing in Milwaukee, but I think that, you know, too many games we've had too few runs scored early in the game, or, you know, other starters had one or two hits through six innings or whatever. I think that's a pretty key part of it is, you know, when you got to put pressure on the opposing manager, you got to get into the bad part of the bullpen, and I think we haven't done a good enough job.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
That's Jed Hoyer of the Cubs talking about the struggles of his offense. He's Bruce Levine. I'm Mike Esposito, and for David Haw this week on Inside the Clubhouse. And Bruce, we saw it again last night, a great pitching performance from Justin Steele. Miguel Amaya almost tied it in the ninth, but it turned out to be a double and not a game-tying home run, and the Reds beat the Cubs 3-2.
Where is that middle-of-the-order bat? Where is the slug? Where is that? Is it in the realm of the 26-man roster? Is it in the minor leagues for the Cubs, or will they make a big trade to bring somebody in to help that happen? I think you talked to most people, and, you know, we had Jim DeShays on earlier in the show, Mike, and he certainly said, you know, a big middle-of-the-order hitter would be his first choice if he was in that seat. I would say, you know, they're hard to find, and you're going to pay a big price for Pete Alonso from the Mets, even though he's a free agent after this year. Toronto Blue Jays were speculated to be trading some of their big hitters. Their GM came out last week and said they're not. There are people out there that could help the Chicago Cubs. The question is, when will they be made available, and whether or not the Cubs will be able to find a match. With the White Sox, there seems to be more trades available to be made. Michael Kopech certainly will be dealt by the trade deadline. Certainly Paul DeJong will be traded by the deadline. I think that you have three or four others that are going to help other teams out there. Will they be able to get back difference makers? That's a different question.
Different question, and certainly I liked a lot of what Jim DeShays had to say in terms of the offense when we had him on last hour, but his point about, you know, the guys that you already have on this roster, your all-star caliber players, your Bellies, Ian Happ, Dansby, Christopher Morel, these are your guys that you are depending on. And if as they go, so will go your offense. Seiya Suzuki has carried this offense at times. But when all of those guys collectively are sitting at under 10 home runs, except for Morel, under a one in the WAR category, with the exception of Mike Tauchman, of all people, who's been wonderful this season, but certainly not one of the guys you expect to carry you offensively, you've been struggling. The offense has been struggling, and hopefully as the season wears on and as the weather warms up, we have seen it happen many times in the past, that some of these bats will heat up.
A lot of good players, Mike. No superstars, okay? You need a superstar in that middle of the lineup. Again, are they easy to find? Are they easy to quantify as having great years? It's not always that simple. But again, it's easy for me to sit here and say, hey, you need a middle-of-the-order guy. Jed Hoyer is sitting there trying to make trades. His scouts are out there looking. They have to pay attention to not only the talent that they're going to give up, but also what it's going to cost them and how much over the luxury tax are you going to have to go out there and get a guy that's making $20 or $30 million like Alonso is. So these are all the variables. It's easy for you and I to make a trade here on a Saturday, but not so easy for Chris Getz and for Jed Hoyer to guarantee that they get back what they need to get back and not give up future stars.
And for that luxury tax conversation, and we were talking about this a little bit earlier, but the Cubs are currently, as they sit today, right up against it. So a move like an Alonso, you'd really have to be careful if you wanted to avoid that tax level, right? I mean, is it like something like $5 or $6 million they're within that tax level?
Well, first of all,
correct?
You have to pay the rest of his salary, which right
correct
now will be about $12 million at this point. And then you, once you go over the tax, you have to pay that as well. The other part of the equation on a guy like Alonso is he's a free agent. So what you see is what you get for 3 months. That's it, okay? It's a different equation when you're trading for a Michael Kopech who has this year and next, and somebody can project them in the back of their bullpen for 2 years. So it's a different price range as far as prospects go. And Michael's also making a lot less money than Alonso is. So there's so many factors. And it's, Mike, it's so much fun to talk about trades and how the, you know, the atmosphere and the landscape can change for your team with one good trade. And they can. And they have been. And I know both sides of town, general managers and presidents of baseball operations, are working their butt off to line up and to make sure that they're ready to pull the trigger if they can.
No doubt about it. And with the National League Central in particular, Bruce, because you have the Brewers in first place and they have been playing very good baseball so far this season. But the other four teams in the division, Cubs, Reds, Cardinals, Pirates, they are all literally within a half game of each other. This is it's a bunch. There are a large number of teams within that same 500 range. So whether it's competing in the Central or competing for a wild card, these are teams that are still contending. They are still looking for pieces to add. And this is the fun of it, exactly as you said, right? As we approach the deadline, let's see what these teams do to get themselves better.
The oddity of the parity or mediocrity, whatever you want to call it, of baseball right now is, you know, kind of shocking. You have the Cubs, who are a wild card team as they stand today, but they're a game under 500. There are eight teams in the National League within three games of the wild card. Okay, so you're talking about teams with momentum like the Reds have had as of late. You're talking about teams that will make trades to augment what they already have. Is it time to deal for the Chicago Cubs and other teams? Will there be an earlier rush to make trades before the trade deadline? That's all about taking two to tango. Can't do it by yourself.
No doubt about it. And you talked about the superstar factor, and you look at the elite teams in the game. The Dodgers have several superstars. The Phillies, with Bryce Harper, certainly superstar in this game. Kansas City, out of nowhere, I would put Bobby Witt in that category. If he's not there yet, he's certainly emerging. And the Yankees, with both Soto and Judge, have the best record in the American League, and they have just been, you know, outscoring people there. And they're getting a lot of key slug from both Soto and Aaron Judge, who had a cool April, but really heated it up in May. The superstar makes a difference in that. Where, I mean, listen, neither team, as you mentioned, and the Cubs especially, there's nobody on the Cubs that is like the guys I just mentioned. But you're looking for him, and you're trying to try to bring him in if you can, and maybe Pete Alonso is that guy. We'll just have to wait to the deadline and see what Jed Hoyer does.
Yeah, look, with the Yankees, their offense wasn't so good until they brought Soto in, okay?
Yep.
And, you know, now you get a different dynamic. With that and the fact that they have some of the best pitching in baseball this year. So that's why you see them with one of the best records. Mike, thanks for sitting in for David. We'll be back next week. We have people to thank. Robbie Torinos, a great job doing our producing here at the station. We thank you, Mike. We also thank Jim Deshaies of Marquee Sports Network. Steve Stone does a terrific job on NBC Sports Chicago doing all the White Sox games. And you, the great baseball fans of Chicago, follow me on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine and 670thescore.com, where I write Cubs and Sox every week. Mike, thank you.
Bruce, it's been a pleasure as always. Thanks to you for letting me sit in for David, and thanks to our great listeners and callers, texters, everybody for participating in the show. We really appreciate it. Again, Robbie Triano, thanks for the great job you do producing the show. And coming up next here on The Score, you'll want to stick around. You will be entertained and other things by Steve Rosenblum. Saturday Suckage is coming up next. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands. thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm proud of the fact that in these games we've rallied late. You know, felt like on Friday and Sunday we had chances late to tie the game. I think we did that the same thing in Milwaukee, but I think that, you know, too many games we've had too few runs scored early in the game, or, you know, other starters had one or two hits through six innings or whatever. I think that's a pretty key part of it is, you know, when you got to put pressure on the opposing manager, you got to get into the bad part of the bullpen, and I think we haven't done a good enough job.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
That's Jed Hoyer of the Cubs talking about the struggles of his offense. He's Bruce Levine. I'm Mike Esposito in for David Haugh this week on Inside the Clubhouse. And Bruce, we saw it again last night, a great pitching performance from Justin Steele. Miguel Amaya almost tied it in the ninth, but it turned out to be a double and not a game-tying home run, and the Reds beat the Cubs 3-2.
Where is that middle-of-the-order bat? Where is the slug? Where is that? Is it in the realm of the 26-man roster? Is it in the minor leagues for the Cubs? Or will they make a big trade to bring somebody in to help that happen? I think you talk to most people, and, you know, we had Jim DeShays on earlier in the show, Mike, and he certainly said, you know, a big middle-of-the-order hitter would be his first choice if he was in that seat. I would say, you know, they're hard to find, and you're going to pay a big price for Pete Alonso from the Mets, even though he's a free agent after this year. Toronto Blue Jays were speculated to be trading some of their big hitters. Their GM came out last week and said they're not. There are people out there that could help the Chicago Cubs. The question is, when will they be made available, and whether or not the Cubs will be able to find a match. But the White Sox, there seems to be more trades available to be made. Michael Kopech certainly will be dealt by the trade deadline. Certainly Paul DeJong will be traded by the deadline. I think that you have three or four others that are going to help other teams out there. Will they be able to get back difference makers? That's a different question.
Different question, and certainly I liked a lot of what Jim DeShays had to say in terms of the offense when we had him on last hour. But his point about, you know, the guys that you already have on this roster, your all-star caliber players, your Bellies, Ian Happ, Dansby, Christopher Morel, these are your guys that you are depending on. And if as they go, so will go your offense. Seiya Suzuki has carried this offense at times. But when all of those guys collectively are sitting at under 10 home runs, except for Morel, under a one in the WAR category, with the exception of Mike Tauchman, of all people, who's been wonderful this season, but certainly not one of the guys you expect to carry you offensively, you've been struggling. The offense has been struggling, and hopefully as the season wears on and as the weather warms up, we have seen it happen many times in the past, that some of these bats will heat up.
A lot of good players, Mike. No superstars, okay? You need a superstar in that middle of the lineup. Again, are they easy to find? Are they easy to quantify as having great years? It's not always that simple. But again, it's easy for me to sit here and say, hey, you need a middle-of-the-order guy. Jed Hoyer is sitting there trying to make trades. His scouts are out there looking. They have to pay attention to not only the talent that they're going to give up, but also what it's going to cost them and how much over the luxury tax are you going to have to go out there and get a guy that's making $20 or $30 million like Alonso is. So these are all the variables. It's easy for you and I to make a trade here on a Saturday, but not so easy for Chris Getz and for Jed Hoyer to guarantee that they get back what they need to get back and not give up future stars.
And for that luxury tax conversation, and we were talking about this a little bit earlier, but the Cubs are currently, as they sit today, right up against it. So a move like an Alonso, you'd really have to be careful if you wanted to avoid that tax level, right? I mean, is it like something like $5 or $6 million they're within that tax level?
Well, first
level,
of all,
correct?
You have to pay the rest of his salary, which right
correct.
Now will be about $12 million at this point. And then you, once you go over the tax, you have to pay that as well. The other part of the equation on a guy like Alonso is he's a free agent. So what you see is what you get for 3 months. That's it. Okay. It's a different equation when you're trading for a Michael Kopech, who has this year and next, and somebody can project them in the back of their bullpen for 2 years. So it's a different price range as far as prospects go. And Michael's also making a lot less money than Alonso is. So there's so many factors. And it's, Mike, it's so much fun to talk about trades and how the, you know, the atmosphere and the landscape can change for your team with one good trade. And they can. And they have been. And I know both sides of town, general managers and presidents of baseball operations, are working their butt off to line up and to make sure that they're ready to pull the trigger if they can.
No doubt about it. And with the National League Central in particular, Bruce, because you have the Brewers in first place and they have been playing very good baseball so far this season. But the other four teams in the division, Cubs, Reds, Cardinals, Pirates, they are all literally within a half game of each other. This is a It's a bunch. There are a large number of teams within that same 500 range. So whether it's competing in the Central or competing for a wild card, these are teams that are still contending. They are still looking for pieces to add. And this is the fun of it, exactly as you said, right? As we approach the deadline, let's see what these teams do to get themselves better.
The oddity of the parity or mediocrity, whatever you want to call it, of baseball right now is, you know, kind of shocking. You have the Cubs, who are a wild card team as they stand today, but they're a game under 500. There are eight teams in the National League within three games of the wild card. Okay, so you're talking about teams with momentum like the Reds have had as of late. You're talking about teams that will make trades to augment what they already have. Is it time to deal for the Chicago Cubs and other teams? Will there be an earlier rush to make trades before the trade deadline? That's all about taking two to tango. Can't do it by yourself.
No doubt about it. And you talked about the superstar factor, and you look at the elite teams in the game. The Dodgers have several superstars. The Phillies, with Bryce Harper, certainly superstar in this game. Kansas City, out of nowhere, I would put Bobby Witt in that category. If he's not there yet, he's certainly emerging. And the Yankees, with both Soto and Judge, have the best record in the American League, and they have just been, you know, outscoring people there. And they're getting a lot of key slug from both Soto and Aaron Judge, who had a cool April, but really heated it up in May. The superstar makes a difference in that. Where, I mean, listen, neither team, as you mentioned, and the Cubs especially, there's nobody on the Cubs that is like the guys I just mentioned. But you're looking for him, and you're going to try to bring him in if you can, and maybe Pete Alonso is that guy. We'll just have to wait to the deadline and see what Jed Hoyer does.
Yeah, look, with the Yankees, their offense wasn't so good until they brought Soto in, okay?
Yep.
And, you know, now you get a different dynamic. With that and the fact that they have some of the best pitching in baseball this year. So that's why you see them with one of the best records. Mike, thanks for sitting in for David. We'll be back next week. We have people to thank. Robbie Torinos, a great job doing our producing here at the station. We thank you, Mike. We also thank Jim Deshays of Marquee Sports Network. Steve Stone does a terrific job on NBC Sports Chicago doing all the White Sox games. And you, the great baseball fans of Chicago, follow me on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine and 670thescore.com, where I write Cubs and Sox every week. Mike, thank you.
Bruce, it's been a pleasure as always. Thanks to you for letting me sit in for David, and thanks to our great listeners and callers, texters, everybody for participating in the show. We really appreciate it. Again, Robbie Triano, thanks for the great job you do producing the show. And coming up next here on The Score, you'll want to stick around. You will be entertained and other things by Steve Rosenblum. Saturday Suckage is coming up next. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.